One of the most special and rewarding joys in life is to be able to find that person or that group of people in which you are not only comfortable to be with, but with whom you share an important commonality in life. It is reassuring that even though there may be other differences, you find ways to overcome any differences and focus the life together upon those important common beliefs, thoughts, interests, goals, or causes. Just being together is to experience joy. It is one of the crown jewels in life. Many people search for an experience their whole lives, but never seem to be able to discover such an experience as this. Those who have found it know that they will do everything possible to maintain it. It is a special love rooted in that common thread in the fabric of life. You know when you found it, especially when you see that special relationship or relationships being threatened by bickering and arguments. Seeing or experiencing such a threat is especially painful for fear that love of the commonality of life is being tried and tested, threatening to destroy it all. It's one of those hurts which shake the very core of one's being just to experience the tension which undermines that love, which has become so much a part of our lives. It also denies that common core of beliefs or cause from being experienced and fulfilled. Now, this happens in one relationship to, in one-to-one relationships, such as marriage, and such as friendships, as well as within groups such as in the workplace, the community organizations, governmental institutions. And I have seen it within all things, a fan club, which I became a part of years ago. The first fan club I was ever remember. And you all remember that in Jackie Evancho, the child singing prodigy. And through the forums and the chats of the fan club, you could feel the intense commonality in being enthralled by the life and singing of that young performer. But even at that, there were times when the outside world penetrated this group and disputes erupted. You could almost feel the tension and the despair among the observers, since it has interrupted that sense of commonality among the fans. Eventually, without being monitored, that brought so much joy into destruction, because other things became more important. And the fan club dispersed. But such experiences are not limited to the secular world. Many of us have had experiences of discord and dissension within the church from time to time. We have seen and experienced the hurt and the destruction of lives which have resulted from it. It was, about 25 years ago that we had such a time in the life of Epiphany. You know, we have seen the experience and the hurt and the destruction and what it could happen. For many, one's faith is shaken because this activity is anything but what Christianity is all about. But wherever there are people, wherever there are human beings, there is the potential of dissension. There is the potential of hurt and the bitterness and divisiveness, which can destroy the commonality of purpose. This was exactly the case with Paul and the church at Philippi. Paul made it no secret that this church was one that he loved the most. It was his beloved people at Philippi. In his letter to that church, he exemplified a warmth and a love which rarely came through in his other letters. Some have called Paul a very cold personality, and with some justification. But with the Philippians brought out just the opposite in Paul. He called that church his joy and crown. He said, "My brothers and my sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved." Ending with "my beloved" verifies that this indeed was a love letter from the heart of Paul. But the letter which Paul wrote was not only to express his deep affection for the believers at Philippi. He had received word that there was dissension among his beloved people. Loving this church so much, he must have been torn to pieces, knowing that this dissension could destroy that which he loved so, so much. Even worse than that was the fact that he could not travel himself to straighten out the problem since he was still imprisoned. He personally was struggling with the fact that his life may come to an abrupt end at any time. The last thing he wanted and needed was the heartbreak of seeing his beloved Philippians torn apart. He saw his life as being a vital part of that community. And to have that community destroyed would be like taking his breath away. That is the nature of love. In love, we become a vital part of someone else, and they are a vital part of ourselves. Just talk to someone who has just lost a loved one. They'll tell you. This dissension was between two women leaders, Euodia and Syntyche. What and why the dissension is not exactly known, but it was very real. Evidently, it had nothing to do with any important or relevant teaching of Christ or important interpretation of his teachings. If it had been, Paul would not have hesitated to weigh in on the discussion and clarify the teaching. Paul never hesitated to clarify any teaching or even religious practice. Now, this dissension was over something else. As in the case with many arguments which get out of hand, the issue is so often over a trivial but irritating issue. You know, I can remember years ago when I was serving in a church. The church became divided over arguments about taking down a half-dead tree in the middle of a parking lot which was about to be paved over. I can remember it so well. Paul refused, though, to get involved in petty arguments about. Instead, he went beyond the differences which were being divisive and strongly urged them to see their commonality. They had come together not because of the differences which all people have, but because of their core belief in this Jesus. It was the message of God's love, the message of his forgiveness, which had brought them all together. Therefore, during times of divisiveness and petty arguments, it is God's love which can reunite us. This was their commonality, and to bring this love back into focus would bring love and forgiveness back into their lives. Love and forgiveness, which has the power to conquer all divisiveness. Boy, could we use that today in our society. Therefore, Paul told them, get beyond themselves, for the commonality which they all had in Christ. That is why he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Stop your bickering for a moment and together rejoice in God in whom you both have your very being. You are the one when you rejoice together. You are one when you rejoice together. Instead of letting your anger be seen by everyone, let me remind you what Christ is all about, he said. Let your gentleness be known to everybody. Let me also remind you that what we do is not beyond the presence of God, for he said, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. You know, that's a frightening prospect. We say that God's presence is always with us, but then we at times act as if he is not. It can be a frightening prospect as well as a comfort to know that God is always present. You know, we can't have it both ways, even though at times we wish to have him turn his back and leave the room while we do whatever we want to do. Paul continues with the advice to overcome the trivial disputes which they may have had. You may worry and place too much importance on that which is not important. For he said, do not worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. It is when we begin to see all of life as a gift, and is not given to us to waste through meaningless disputes, that our lives will become joyful and meaningful. This will bring us to having a thankful and grateful life so that God's response to any request made known to him will be received as a gracious gift. It is this process that calm and peace will enter our lives. It is through this process that any divisiveness and disputes will be solved, since we will know that God has answered our request for healing. The healing comes through Paul's assurance. For he said, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It is when we find this, our commonality in God's love and forgiveness, this commonality in Christ, that peace will enter our lives. It is this peace which will bring us together in love. This is so important today with the extreme divisiveness within our society, within our politics. You know, we find this peace within this fellowship here. And I think every one of us has found this kind of peace within each other. That's our joy. That's our point of thanksgiving. That is what we need to share. "Finally, beloved," he said, "whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And he continues, "Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the Lord of peace be with you all." Paul ends by saying, no matter what we may think about the things and affairs of this life, always remember the commonality of life we have in Christ. We, as was Paul, are to be that standard of witness to this. This is our mission. And it is through our commonality in Christ that we will truly find that peace. We must always focus upon who we are. For we are followers and believers of this Christ. Amen.